What, we ain't live, but we on. Hey.
Okay. Yo.
I've been waiting for this. This has been brewing for such a long time. I don't even know what to say. I know what to say. Here's the thing about this guy that came through here. This guy that's on right now. He is a orator. He's a linguist. He has a dialectical symposium of urban vernacular, which can only be compared to that of great symphony. Oh, man, the chords and layers in which this man is about to give you some sort of...
I'm on this bitch with Billy. Billy Sorrell.
Okay, this nigga.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? That nigga, we live. You probably on the camera right now. I told him how much ass you had. How much ass you had.
Ah, this nigga Selvo.
You gonna be on the show. You get out. You wanna put your ass in the camera then.
Come on, tell her come over so we can see what she look like. We need to see. Tell her please come over.
She talking about she been sweet. I'm at the gym, bro. You know what I'm saying? So
I know she thick and fine. Please let me see. Please do the magistrate of just let us of gasp at her for just a moment.
She popping her ass in the window of the car. I got low-key booty. You got low-key booty.
Let us
I call it sleepy booty. I like it when it, yeah, and then it wake up. Yeah, it's low. It's like, wake up. Say, man. Boy, as long as I'm sitting here at this gym, this shit gonna be eventful.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
All right, gorgeous. Enjoy your day, baby.
Seven, you know, we've been around the world together. We traveled from near and far. Been knowing each other for quite some time.
Man.
I guess it would be quite fair, if you wouldn't mind, giving us a walk, if you will, through maybe one of your masterpieces to just kind of ease the troubled nation in this moment and just allow us to walk with you, if you don't mind. Wherever you feel the spirit leads you to go, well, I'm gonna let you do this because I don't usually do this, but I do this because I know he's dope and I know people need to hear this. Wherever he wants to go with it, the floor is yours. We're gonna walk with you for a moment. If you have it, light it. If you drink it, put it up. Cause it's Church. Time, it's that time.
So B, when you say walk, you mean poetically or just give them the story?
You know what? Give us a little poetry, and then we can go behind that with a story. Whatever you like to give them with, because no one else that does poetry has ever been on this show. Because I'm like, you ain't better than my partner, so you're not coming on here. So
Church. I don't remember where this thing started.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is I found maturity and realized I was surrounded by garbage. So I set my sights to higher ground. I heard it's better air up there. I heard it's life without a care now. Some flies never leave the garbage because that's all that they know. And the garbage they be on never leaves the back of the store. But not me. I decide to write. I take flight over the paper as if I were a pen sliding. I'm on air. I'm gliding. What are these things? I'm writing these things, these beautiful things, man. Every time I finish a poem, I discover I have wings. And effortlessly, I start rising. Effortlessly, I start to heighten. Effortlessly, I start to heighten. So I see more things on the horizon because my perspective begins to widen. Man, I had to leave the trash. It was stinking.
Had to leave the trash.
It was stinking. Left that trash behind me, and I watched that pile start shrinking. I found bread, butter, milk, and honey, and I'm drinking. Landed on a stack of money, and I'm thinking. You know, flies. You ever seen a fly do this? Now, I learned that to eat, I had to spit. So every time I land at an open mic, I shit on it. I must be a fly, cause haters be spraying lies and pesticides. Like I can't see their ass a mile away from these big ass eyes. I must be a fly, cause I enter a room like it's nothing. Low key, can't see me, but you can hear the buzzing. The buzzing grows. I'm bold, right in front of your nose. From the ceiling to the floor, down with you like I'm one of your pinky toes. Can't see my next move, I'm on top of you like clothes. But when I decide to stop, the buzzing goes. I froze, man. And the window perched high. I must be a fly, cause it doesn't matter what shit I'm on. Haters come to do me harm, and I watch them get up across the room to get in my mix. Disturb me while I'm fixed. Ain't this a bitch? This is not some fly shit. And now they spraying things, taking swings, and it seems they won't stop until they get me on the front of their newspapers and magazines. They blow up my head, distort my face. Say, man, let's talk about that. They blow up my head and distort my face. You know, the OJ case was the first time that I was made that the media plays tricks to make the black man look more menacing. They blow up my head and distort my face. Man, they rode this boy dick to the point he didn't even believe he was black no more. I'm not black. They blow up my head and distort my face. When mama them and mother them, God rest her soul, would hang them bags of sugar water on the porch, Billy. See, you from the South, so I know you fucking.
They don't know about that.
When they hang them bags of sugar water on the porch, bro, in them Ziploc bags, you know why it scared the flies away?
Why?
Because it blow up their head and distort their face. So the fly, when he fly toward it, he sees something coming towards himself that's larger than himself and more menacing than himself, and he runs away. They blow up my head and distort my face, so the image of myself becomes the image I learned to hate. That's why niggas don't fuck with niggas now. And now we have to play a game of cops and robbers. Duck and dodge fly swatters. Plus, I could catch the clap from the wrong Venus fly trap.
Clap for the wrong Venus fly trap. My nigga! He here. All right. Shit. Okay. The year is 2003. I'm at Texas Southern University. I'm learning to become an artist. I'm learning to become myself. I would tell people that I'm becoming a comedian, but that's not what was happening. I was learning to become myself. And what I came around, there was three guys that helped shape me and mold me on a daily basis that I would see. Ali, Marcus, and Seven. Now that was a fourth person who would be around, and he would just antagonize me pushing this shit to go further. His name was Keelan Farouk. And at that time, I'm 20 years old, so I'm like, I'm really still don't know really shit about life. I mean, I think, okay, if I got a pretty girl, that's all that really matters. I'm fresh. I'm cool. I got a haircut. I got a few dollars in my pocket. And a few dollars, I mean, like, maybe 35, maybe 40. You know what I'm saying?
We're a long way from that now.
But, you know, at the time, you know, a nigga phone is on. You got some gas in your trunk. You got about $40. You know what I'm saying? You might have $100 in the Bible that's in your trunk that's like for a rainy day, but you ain't touching that.
Right.
That's where I'm at. And so I'm seeing y'all, these niggas got on $300 tennis shoes. These niggas got on, you know what I'm saying, $500 suits. Them boys riding around in whips and got bras that's like, nigga, ball players fuck with her, but how you got it? Like, that's...
Bro, you know what, man? That's crazy, bro. We was getting custom suits, man. We get a custom suit made just for a DVD record or a show. Just customized suits, man. I never thought that doing poetry, bro, I would be able to afford custom suits. You know what I'm saying? Top to bottom, bro. Yeah. It's been a lot. Damn, it's a long time ago, bro. 03, show up.
Man, bro. You know what's funny is, you know, what's funny is like these times, it's like that come that we that are upon us. You know, you try to think back to times to where you experienced something like it. And I think it's just really like becoming comfortable being yourself is where you start really taking that like inner self voyage. And I think that year was where I started really diving into who I really was going to become, who I really wanted to be. That was outside of what my parents' vision for me was. And it was like watching y'all, I became more comfortable like being myself. Because before that point, myself was the vision that I feel like somebody else had for me. It was an expectation. It was like what people anticipated, how I should act, how I should think, how I should respond and stuff. And so I definitely owe them years because them years was just like so fundamental. You know what I'm saying? Me and Blaine was running around and shit, and we get in there and we go in the candy lady. And so it's only like maybe 80 people, 100 people that is really popping. But at the right. candy lady, you know, that's sold out. You know what I'm saying? Shit, you get, you know, we in there. So I'm in college. I'm coming up. Y'all got other shows at other places. So I'm just watching this shit take place. So that's kind of where it started. Keelan and Marcus opened the comedy club, but it was called the Candy Lady. Now, it was supposed to be clean. The first couple weeks, it was like clean comedy.
It was clean. It sure was. It was
clean. And when we used to perform there the first couple weeks, it was no cussing on stage because it's the Candy Lady. Don't disrespect the Candy Lady. And then I'm trying to think who came in there with the cussing. I don't know if it was Lee came in there with the cussing, if it was Dre came in there with the full-blown cussing.
It was Dre, bro.
Dre came in there. Man, fuck that bitch up on that wall. Yo, you know what you're going to do? I went to J-Y.
It was Dre, bro.
I went to J-Y. So, dog.
You know, and the thing about that was, you know, that's a great story in itself, man. Because we had enough moral compass. You know, one of the reasons we didn't curse in the candy lady, you know, because Dr. Farouk was in and out of there. You know what I'm saying? That was Keelan's mom. So we just didn't, we weren't blatantly disrespectful. But when we caught on to the fact that at night, Dr. Farouk wouldn't be there and you know, how much we could get away with, because, yo, Keelan didn't really give a shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we figured we could get away from that. We did. And the beauty in getting away from it, because it allowed us to explore. Our partners, you know, our friends, man, these dudes were some of the first dudes, not the only, but definitely some of the first dudes to ever own their own comedy spot. No matter how small it was, they pulled it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it allowed us, man, we had open reign to do shows, to do, you know, to work out in there. It would be nothing because it was ours. It was, we was really on some Rat Pack shit, bro.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, what was dope about it was like, you know, you followed through and it was like you were fans of each other because you learning and you watching it develop and unfold. But the story is like, if you could go like, you remember when like the answers was in the back of the book and it was like, all you had to do was go to the back of the book and upside down, if you turn the book upside down, all the answers to the questions you going through was right there for the study guide. If you would have went and turned the book upside down and started reading the answers, you would have been like, hell nah, that's how this finna go? And then, you know, you don't see it like that. Nobody was tripping, even though we knew, you know, there's answers in the back of this book. We was like, all right, we just gonna appreciate going through this study time. And it was an honest...
through the study time.
It was an honest process. Andre McCoy, this is people don't know. I never told this story on the podcast, but I haven't been compelled to tell it, nor have it really just been right here. Like, this is a story to tell. So I struggled starting off because I fought between what my life was, what I thought was funny, and what I thought people would laugh at. Those are three different things. My life, what I thought was funny, and what I thought people would laugh at. And when you're not focused on just your life to be like, this is what I'm basing what my comedy is or my art is from what I feel from self-expression, you run the risk of, you know, you're not authentic. And that conflict of unauthenticity, what is what you stay in until you decide to accept who you are and the way you view shit. But most people never come to grips with their inauthenticity.
Watch this though, bro. In all fairness, bro, you said I was 20 years old. Bro, you ain't have enough life experience yet. You know what I'm saying? And you was still fucking funny. You know what I mean? Bro, I have seen life chew you up, spit you out. But it's one thing, no matter what part of life you in, you always stand on your motherfucking 10 toes, my nigga. You always come back. And you get funnier and funnier. You grow and grow and grow. Bro, just think, you haven't even reached your prime yet. You ain't even reached your prime yet, bro. You still playing with them. Bro, you got more to give. You got more to go in. And you funny as fuck. We saw the, we at home in the H, bro, we saw the LA move. And when you dipped to LA and you came back, if a motherfucker sit down and say, you were not different, if a motherfucker, they didn't see no growth, they hate him, bro. Cause it was obvious. He was like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? And everybody that was down, your partners want to see you grow. You know what I'm saying? It was obvious, bro. And you came back and you was kicking ass and you still kicking ass. This conversation started out with you saying, just give me a little. I'm going to be fully independent. Bro, you on your way.
Bro, like I watched y'all. Like I watched you going into comedy, the Poetry Lounge, man, and just like making that a brand. And it was like, I had all these things that I watched. So it's like, as I'm growing and as we walk, going through this walk and getting to your stories and getting to your life and get to things you experience, I'm telling you where I was just as a passenger on the voyage of it. So like this night in particular, we at the Candy Lady. they decide this night that they gonna have a comedy contest. Now, there's two comedy contests that went on. There was the Giggle for Shizzle, and then there was a night niggas was like, man, boys come up here tonight, we giving away $500 for the funniest nigga to come up here. I don't know if you remember this night. So, we got a packed house. Seven, you went up, and the argument was who was gonna host the show, because Marcus was like, yeah, I'm not cussing. I'm not going in there with all that cussing. And Marcus, even though he was a co-owner in the club, his mindset on going in there doing shows was like, if it was something, they did it, but it wasn't like, I'm going up every night. He'll be in the back just chilling, walking around. So this night in particular, Seven brings me on the stage. He was like, all right, man, fellas, we got this show tonight. I'm non-biased, I'm a poet, but I'm still funny. And I watched the nigga work the room, tell jokes, say funny shit, do a poem here, there, and you brought niggas up. So this night in particular, Doc Shep, it goes up. He started doing real good. Then Dre comes in, and this the first night Dre drags that guitar down the middle of the aisle, and it's he goes up to Nickelback. He's like, I'm finna flip it on him. They finna see it. They better see me tonight. Oh, I better turn into a monster. So Dre goes in there. Lee is there that night. And Dre start killing these niggas this one night. Lee talking about, yeah, I got jokes just like that. Yeah. So I'm not doing no competition. So Dre killing.
Yeah, yeah.
Me, Dre, Alfred Rose, who's dead, RIP. And I think it was Blame. It was only five of us in the show. So Dre closed the show out, getting a bunch of Yates people in there, but he ended up killing real at night. So Doc Shep gets mad and is on some, y'all gonna pay me because I was the best nigga tonight and y'all don't want me to win because that's y'all homeboy. So nigga, they got to arguing about the money, about he felt like he won, they cheated me. And do you know this motherfucker right here? You know, and so we all was like, man, we don't want to jump Dr. Shep, but we can't let this nigga just get run amok because he talking shit to everybody.
He was going in. School's going in, bro.
And Seven said this. He said, this is what you say. I remember it like it was yesterday. Let me tell you what you had on. Nigga had on some jeans. You had on some like square toes. You had on, like, it was square brown. You had on a dress shirt. You had a vest on. You had a tie on. And you had on, like, it wasn't a Kango, but it was like a paperboy hat with a little brim. And you was like, straight up, you really getting disrespectful out here. And they ain't gonna tell you, but I'm gonna tell you, you getting disrespectful out here. And listen, I'm from Sunnyside.
Same, man.
Like, hey, and man, you really tripping. You really tripping right now. It's too many hoes to be out here, man. You tripping. And the goddamn seven, I'm just saying, man. And he was like, listen, you got to calm down. You can't be yelling at me. You can't be yelling at these people. These see people spot. You tripping right now. Look at yourself. And the nigga calmed down. And the nigga left.
Bro, that is that hood shit in me, bro. You know what? At one point in time, believe it or not, Billy, bro, I was ashamed of that shit because I could not cut it off. I could not cut it off. In fact, it's damn near instinctual, bro. Is that a word? Instinctual. Yeah. Who gives a fuck? When pressed, if you press me, bro, it's going to show up. Like, you know, we can do the show and I can be a personality. But when you get disrespectful, you out in my face, you talking to my people, bro. But then let's see, Slim, if you really bite that shit, let's pop that off. You know what I'm saying? With that poetry shit, bro, from Sunnyside, being from Sunnyside. Motherfuckers a lot of times think you soft, bro. They want to push the envelope with that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that old poetry ass nigga. Oh, nigga, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, nigga threatened me one time over the phone. I say, well, nigga, I'm finna pull up on your crib, nigga. Nigga, you ain't finna come up here. I said, nigga, I'm finna show up at your crib, nigga. And I ain't come to say no motherfucking poems, nigga. You got to know, when I show up, it is not going to be no Langston Hughes shit popping off, nigga. I'm going to stand up on your ass. See, that shit just came out that fast, bro. We're on an interview. I'm sorry. Hey, I'm sorry. Back to
you. Nah, take us up, man. So, like, have you ever been doing a show and then, like, you doing poetry and then you have to flip the switch on a nigga?
Man, I can't even count, bro. You know, we was at...
Take us there. We jumping in the time machine. Where we going?
Shadow Bar.
Okay.
Shadow Bar.
Formerly Pisano's.
Formerly Pisano's.
What's the address?
213 Milam. 213 Milam between Congress and Franklin.
Downtown now, Houston.
Current day is right around the corner from Hickey and Pilot. H-Time.
Okay.
You know, man... Parking guy is out there, you know what I'm saying? He thinks that he gonna muscle one of my poet partners, you know what I'm saying? Like, they going back and forth, bruh. And I come out and I say, hey, man, listen, you know, long as I got my patrons and my people out here, you know, why don't y'all take this down the street? Nah, I'm gonna handle it right here. I say, how long, Slim? If you gonna handle it right here, that mean it's gonna involve me in. Then, you know, it's going to be outside of you and your little parking job, homeboy. This ain't what you want, son. Man, I don't know if you remember, but that, the sidewalk,
it had that big ass dip. It dropped.
That big ass dip, you know what I'm saying? Like, you damn near, you could walk off that hole and damn near walk on top of a car. That's how high that hole was, man. And it kept on playing and kept on bumping, bro. Man, I tried to push that nigga in the oncoming traffic because, you know, Marlon, bro, that's the off-ramp from I-10. It's an exit. It's a freeway exit. That boy kept on playing me. I tried to shove that boy chest to his back and push his ass off that lip so he flew in the traffic, bro. That was one thing. Another time, me and my partners was walking down the street, bro. We was like, wow, you ready for this? Yeah. Handing out flyers.
Oh yeah, you know what? That's let me explain something about the flyer culture real quick. Between the years of like 96 on to like 2017, 2016, flyer game in Houston was a real thing. I was the flyer man. I was the nigga that passed out flyers. I was the nigga that printed flyers and made them. And so people's whole obligation and livelihood was the hustle, was like, I'm a promote, I'm a pass out my flyers, let people know what's going on. You're giving out these invitations. It's a quick way. If you got some flyers, you're going to get on some bitches because women want to come to a party. And then if you, you got to be fresh, but at the same time, you got to be prepared for an ignorant nigga in the street to be on some wild shit. Now I'm going to tell you what it does do. Once you used to being in the streets like that,
yes,
your
sir.
Mindset ain't the same as the average person that come out, because you being out passing out flyers in the street, you got homeless niggas, hood niggas, corporate people, police, regular shit, jack boys, hoes, hating hoes, gay niggas, whatever you can encounter in the streets. Aye. So aye. You really ready to be like, I'm going to holler at this bitch and party, or nigga, we going to beat the shit out of whoever this nigga is that's tripping. And we ain't tripping which way it go tonight either way.
And you fresh.
Because
you got to be clean.
You got to be clean.
You know what I'm saying? Bro, you got hoes. Watch this up. You got some hoes that'll respect the hustle. You got some hoes that'll be turned on because you're out there hustling. You got some hoes that'll, oh, bro, go in on you because you in the streets hustling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Try to make fun, crack jokes, but you got to be ready. You got to be quick on your feet. You got to be aware of your surroundings. All that, bro. So, man, we out, you know, handing out flyers and stuff. And some white boys, man, these boys done got shit-faced drunk. And they come around, they finna, like I said, you know, we got that lift right in front of the door. They go to kicking the flower pots, them big concrete pretty motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Kicking them motherfuckers in the middle of the street, bro. You know what I'm saying? These are thousands of dollars worth of, you know what I'm saying? Because the club was nice. Man, we came around that counter. They tried to run, bro. We caught them in that park, in Market Square Park, right there. And the owners of the club, Jason and James, came around that corner and caught up with us. And saw me and my homeboys and locked them boys up in that park and they couldn't shake. Man, and that was one of the turning point nights that made me so, you know, respected as a rider in you know, with that squad, with the Shadow Bar crew. And from then on, I never forget, man. We went on, that was my first bar crawl. And I learned what club etiquette was, or courtesy was. If you own a club or you're a part of a club crew, when you go to another club, you automatically get in free. No line, no waiting. You don't pay for your drinks. It was a wild night.
Y'all going crawling spot to spot, dog. I miss that shit. We, you know, when you know everybody, you go from room spot to spot. Man, we go by such and such spot, fall through there. Man, you done hit up three or four spots. Now you like, man, shit, I am fucked up.
Bro, and if you remember, back in them days, before it was called a Pink Monkey.
Rehab. You gotta tell me.
Rehab, bro.
Oh, I got some rehab stories and some Pink Monkey stories out here. What you got for me, man? Tell me where we going. What you got? What happened at the Pink Monkey?
Rehab, bro. Okay, so I don't even understand what that little spot. It was a... You remember that little padded room in the rehab, bro?
Yeah, padded room was in there. Then they had an outside patio. You know a nigga fell off that ditch and fell into the bayou.
I heard there. About that. I heard they found that boy way down close to the ship channel.
Swole up.
Later on. Boy, that was when everybody was on them disco biscuits.
Hey, man. My first drug experience really was in around that time. That's when I was at rehab. We was getting that bitch, and it was a nigga in there that had. Oh, I'm gonna tell you exactly who the nigga was. He later became what's his nigga name? Riff Raff. Riff Raff used to fall through there. Him and another little Asian boy following that bitch with contacts in and grills, and they was giving out pills. They was peel me, and them niggas had them $5 tens, and they had them $10 double stacks. So we get in that bitch early for the free, $1.75, $2 drinks. Then we put 10 on two pills, So we now we done got two. Yeah, I'm put up a dub. So that's two tens. I'm double stacked up. That's you know, shit. Now I'm in that bitch. And we rolling until 6 a.m. You come out the stairs coming up. It's some stairs to go into that motherfucker like a basement. And there was stairs to come out. And when you come out the stairs in the morning, all you can smell
the sun up.
The sun coming up and it's hot dogs and people selling tacos out there on the street. And you like, nigga, did I really stay in here all night partying and drinking?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 6 a.m. Easy. Easy.
They stopped selling liquor at 2. But from 2 to 6, you and that bitch on a white bitch. You and that bitch on a Mexican. You and that bitch trying to fuck in the club. You
were straight up
tripping.
It was plenty of fucking in rehab, bro.
Hi, 323ers. This is your favorite producer, Jador. And I want to talk to you about this week's episode sponsor. Just over the past few years that the podcast has been going on, we've received hundreds of DMs just telling us how helpful the podcast has been. It's mended relationships. It's helped foster new friendships. We've helped people, you know, get over things that have happened in their lives like death and divorce, all these type of things. So we have a great sponsor this week. It's BetterHelp. We want to help you not just in the podcast. We want you to get actual help. So BetterHelp is here. They have counselors in all 50 states. It's not a self-help line. It's not a crisis line. You can call and get actual professional counseling online. I've used them. I'm going through a divorce. Guess what? They're helping me to get over all of that. I want you to get your help too. So this is what we're going to do for you. Did you miss me, listeners? Let me make sure I get this right. You're going to get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp. So this is what I want you guys to do. Go to BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and you'll type in the promo code D-Y-M-M to get 10% off your first month. Here at Ditch Miss Me and BetterHelp, we want you to start living your life better today. We want whatever's interfering with your happiness to get out of your way. Remember, it's online. You can do it. I'm right here by the Kobe poster. You want to know where I do my sessions? Right here by the Kobe poster. You can do the same. Hey man, it's COVID. Everything's shut down in some places still. Everybody's doing everything online. Don't you want to get your life together while you're in the house? We want you to do it too, because we want you to have genuine laughs when you come to Ditch You Miss Me podcast YouTube page. We want you to be in the world having genuine laughs and not go home and have the life stresses weighing you down. Again, go to BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com. Put in the promo code D-Y-M-M.
You couldn't, the bosses, they would try to stop that shit. That shit was a waste of time. It was popping off in that hole, bro.
And they wasn't they tried, nigga. And then if you could slide past the motherfucker at the bottom of the stairs and get past her and turn that corner into the club, because the club, it's a wrap. They can't get you. She can't come out that box and find you. And it's dark in there.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah, it would be so dark, bro. I don't even see how we could really. And someone's being in hell with shades on, just like the ones you got.
Jiggly.
In the dark. I need it darker. I need a dark in
Seven,
this.
You ever left out of there with two things out of Pink Monkey, out of them clubs downtown where you had two of them? And you was like, man, I got to take both of y'all out of here.
I must say, my two-piece days wasn't on back then. I wasn't.
You weren't two-piece.
I had done it before, but I had never just pulled them fresh out the club like that. You know
when did that start happening for the two-piece days for you?
Okay. Of course, I went to PV. I went to PV, bro. So I stumbled upon a couple two pieces. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Them to stumble upon. When was it like you're watching a master at work?
I must admit, my most masterful work, bro, has been 2010 on. It was effortless. In fact, the coldest move I ever made, bro, was in LA.
Okay.
That's when I knew I had entered the Matrix.
Yeah, you got in,
man. Bro, watch this, sir. You want the story?
I want it. Give it to me. I'm all in there.
Me and Chick meet online. She tells me, well, let's jump out early and get something to eat. Her homegirls had abandoned her for her birthday.
Okay, so why are you in L.A.? You just went out there to see her, or you were just out there fucking around?
No, I am in L.A. To record record a show, a poetry show, Versus and Flow.
Okay.
At the time.
Okay, Versus and Flow. And if you ain't see him on Versus and Flow, check it out right here.
Yeah. So right, I'm in back. L.A.
Go ahead.
I'm in L.A. To record Versus and Flow, bruh. And link up with this chick. It's her birthday. She's not happy, you know what I'm saying? So we pull up, we go to P.F. Chang's, we eat. You know, she didn't think it was gonna be what it was. She loving my situation, you know, how I put it together, you know. So later that night, she tells me, come to this club and just get the girl at the door your name. Now, I ain't never pulled no shit like this in L.A., so I'm thinking that this shit finna go whack. It's finna be lame. I get to the door. First off, when I got to the spot in Hollywood, nothing but Asians.
Sound like Playhouse.
Nothing but Asians, bro. Not nothing but Asians, bro. Like, I'm like, I'm in the wrong spot. I go to the door, girl. I give her my name. She, oh, the rope move right this way.
Okay.
Bro, it's one of them. This is my first EDM situation.
Okay.
Bro, the light show is spectacular. You dig?
Yeah.
They take us upstairs. It looks to be like an old theater or something like that. You know what I mean? So, okay, cool. So now, you know, we chilling. She orders a bottle. Bottle comes. We get lit. I got my kinfolk with me. She says, you want some Molly? She said, you want some Molly? My boyfriend has clearance, you know, this is top of the line government issue. I'm like, what? Okay, boom. Yes, bro. Bro, she goes in her bag, opens this little case, right? It looked like it snowed in that bitch. She opened the case and dropped the case, bro. It looked like it was snow all over the steps. That's how many pills this girl had, bro. Like, it's the wildest, some of the wildest I ever seen, right? So, I'm trying to help her pick them motherfuckers up, but like, you know, anybody sees we go to jail or some bullshit.
Yeah, you ain't trying to go to jail. You fuck all of that. You ain't trying to go to jail. You like, I gotta get this shit
bro,
up.
She starts passing them hoes out. She starts passing them hoes out to everybody, bro. So, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now it's somebody in our face with gloves that light up on the fingertips doing this kind of shit. This is wild, bro. I'm like, bro, but it's fucking with you, you know what I'm saying?
What is going on?
Yes. Man, watch this, bro. Here is where it's crazy. I'm talking to my kinfolk. I look over.
Yeah.
Old girl, and another one of her homegirls, they in front of the dude. The dude got the gloves on. Billy, they looking like this at the gloves. I look at kinfolk. I say, man, look at this shit. By the time I turn back around, bro, the dude with the gloves on is tongue kissing my chick. I swear, bro. I cannot make this up, bro. He tongue kissing my cheek, B.
So what do you do?
My player kick in. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, what you do?
I look at my kinfolk, I say, hey, but watch this though. I walk straight up. No announcement, no nothing. Bro, and just start tongue kissing his chick.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey.
That is what I'm talking about. You go there. You don't wait. You wait for the invitation.
Yeah, nah, man. Bro, I turned around. You tongue kissing my broad, bro. So now I'm on your broad. Long story short, me and him ended up back in the room with three of them. Mm. It was a situation. It was a long night. Till the sun came up, Jack. And that's all I have to say about that. That's when I know I entered the Matrix, bro.
Yeah, that's when you know you entered the Matrix. You put the work.
Yeah, because it went down. It went down with no proposal. It was just boom. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that happened in real life. That's just one instance. There's so many more.
I'm gonna tell you what gets it right here though. This is where I'm gonna take you. The year is 2008. And let me tell you what's going on. Just for clarification, let me check this out. Yeah, it's 2008. I'm gonna tell you something. Let me tell you about bitches. A woman will make you remember shit that you thought you forgot about. It is September the 6th of 2008. I am in Houston, Texas. Okay. I'm living in Savoy Apartments right there. Off
Savoy.
Off Southmore. So I am my patio overlooks the balcony, overlooks the pool. Hurricane Ike comes through, destroys the city. Now, I want you to know something. We just got a black president because we voted in September on Super Tuesday. And it was like, that's what was so nuts. We had just probably had a black president, maybe a week, two. So niggas was overjoyed with that. And then pandemonium. Ike comes. Now, we already panicking because we didn't already dealt with Katrina. And then what came after Katrina? Was it one after Katrina or Ike was it? I think it was a Katrina.
Yeah,
then Ike.
Nah, it was Katrina. It was Katrina, then Ike, and then after Ike, backdoor Hurricane Rita.
Rita wasn't fucking around.
And Rita tripped the city out because we was in such a panic from Katrina and Ike. That remember the whole city tried to evacuate it once, and we all
got caught on the freeways.
Yeah. It took me 9 hours to get to Dallas.
Niggas went to Dallas and then got stuck in traffic trying to get back because the whole city was out there.
Right.
So what we decided to do was we decided during this time we was going to evacuate, but then it was like, all right, I live on a third story apartment. If it do flood, I'm above the water. I ain't going to drown. I'm just in there. And I'm like, nigga, I'm in third ward. And I'm like, man, stay the fuck off the street. That's what I do realize. My niggas was like, man, stay put. Most people got fucked off trying to move around, got caught out in water, got swept away, all that bullshit.
Yeah, so, for real.
So this is the week, this is the time for probably about 2 to 3 weeks where during this hurricane onslaught, because it was a season of hurricanes and shit that's happening during this Ike. The winds is like 195 mile an hour winds. Power gets knocked off. And so boys ain't got no power. That's when boys got generators. That's when boys going to Home Depot getting generators. And then boys just out there on generators trying to make it. Can't do nothing. You stuck. You can barely charge your phone. And then the power flashing in and out. Then went through a period where the power was just out for like a week at a time. And so we had to barbecue every day, every meal. It was no air out there. So I started sleeping on my patio. I had a little breezy over there. And
that's the first time I had barbecue oatmeal.
Listen, bro. I think niggas' barbecue game got perfected then because I had to use my pit to survive. It was nothing else.
Right.
Eggs on the pit. You know what I'm saying? Everything on the pit. So this girl that was in my apartment complex.
Straight up.
Shout out to Tasia. I'm gonna go ahead and call her name now. Tasia Bellamy.
Oh, you call her name? Wow.
Let me tell you something, bro. Let me tell you about that. Tasia was dope. And during that time, we talked and we stopped talking, then we talked again. And it was like, you know, she was so fine and orange and had this curly hair and these green eyes. She was so bad, bro. It was just like, golly, man. Golly. She was bad. And then she didn't save all of her monkey off. She was still with that, I got hair on it and I ain't tripping. And it's just like, you so fucking fine. Don't make no damn sense.
So fuzzy out there, was he was
a so bear. So I'm out there, me and Tasia, we going at it on this goddamn patio for weeks at a time, just living off the land on some Viking shit. I go out, I find food, I bring the food back to the house. She sit there, we barbecue, we smoke, we laugh, we talk, this is music. This is our cycle for 2 weeks. I'm talking about, I'm all fucking on the patio. People walking by, it don't matter because it's like, nigga, we in our 20s. What are you going to say? This is just the shit.
Right, right.
So, man, night comes. She's like, hey, I'm about to go to Dallas to go see my mom and them because they want me to come home. So, I'm leaving. So, I've been pretty much booed up Boonopolis for this whole time. I go out into the city to go on a rampage to go see what's going on. First thing I'm doing, I'm going over to see K. I'm got to get on the block. I got to get over to the block and see what's going on over there. I pull up righteous, over there. Righteous. K got a hustle. He's selling Obama t-shirts at the time. him.
I remember that.
Him and who else is on there? What's his name? Your frat brother from U of H. Q. C.A. C.A. got the Obama shirts and all the Greek colors. Is it C.A. that had the Greek shirts or was that Janky Joe? Nah, I think it was Janky Joe that had them Greek shirts.
I think it's Joe. It's Joe, bro. Janky Joe.
Joe had the Greek shirts, the Obama shirts, and everybody kept the Kappa color Obama shirt, the Q Obama shirt. So, nigga, he's selling them hoes like hotcakes. Niggas is moving these shirts. Niggas has got food trucks. Lynn's selling barbecue. The nigga that owned Turkey Day Cut. He got a car wash. He got Dr. Pepper and some other fiends from Third Ward. He's selling barbecue at his spot. And he charged people to use his spot to sell barbecue. So, man, we sitting there. I'm on the block. And I'm like, man, he said, man, go try and see if you can move these shirts. He done give me these shirts. I take them right over to the Stripes. Used to be, what was it before Stripes? I can't remember what it was. But I think it was a Chevron.
Exxon.
It was Exxon.
Chevron.
Right Exxon. Across from Denny's off Southmore. So I go over there. I'm trying to move the shirts. I'm in my Impala. Car pull up. Malibu. Sunfire. Two-door. Furry shit on the dashboard. I'm finna move these. I'm finna move these pink and green shirts. I'm finna move them. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to do y'all right now. Y'all getting a deal today. These my last two shirts. I ran that last two shirts play hard. I ain't keep a bunch of shirts. I said, I sold out. I got my last two shirts. I'm just trying to get this so I can go home. Let me go and give you these two shirts, 2 for $20 right now. They're usually $30, but that's all I wanted was $10 anyway. Damn, you going to do them 2 for $20 right now? I said, 2 for $20 right now. 2 for $20 right now. All right, we got to go to the ATM, though. So the girl going into the ATM. She come back. She's like, I need to go to the bank. I'm like, you said the ATM broke. I'm like, all right. I said, well, I'm about to go to my crib. Well, I just go to your crib because I need to charge my phone. My charger not working in here. I was like, all right, it's too
breezy. Oh, she really wants this T-shirt.
Yeah, I ain't tripping. We pull up at the Savoy. I walk in. You know, my crib player. I got a 2-bedroom, but it's just me. Nobody nowhere. I got a whole pool table in my 2nd bedroom that I shoot dice, and we got dice games going on there. And we got bitches coming in there stripping because Big Tho is coming over there getting flies, bringing strippers over doing photo shoots. So my shit set out with liquor, weed. I got a little powder. You know, I ain't going to put whoever who left the powder out that left it at my house. But said person was a powder connect and left some dope over here because he didn't want to. His words was, and he didn't want to be riding around with the shit. So he had it at my house in a coffee mug. So I'm like, you know, I'm offering like, hey, y'all want some weed? Y'all want smoke? You want some white? What you want to do? Oh, what's up? So you got white? Oh, this nigga, you a plug? So I don't want to be like, it ain't my shit. I'm like, listen, man, I do what I got to do to survive out here. We all got to make it. I don't think it's no judgment in this. Y'all ain't the police, are you? No.
You can't pin.
Yeah. It ain't my dope, but the nigga done left it over here, and I think he
right,
got
right, 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 but for the sake of it. Yeah,
for the sake of it, I'm like, hey, it's maybe almost an A-ball, but it's like he ain't thinking about this shit.
Oh, my God.
So I pulled the dope out. At the time, I'm not fucking with it like that. I'm just like, I done devil did it, but that ain't my shit. Bitch like, oh, bitch, man, cut some music on. So I turn my speakers on. We playing some music. We start playing the new Jeezy. She was like, Jeezy that nigga. Man, they start digging in this powder. I go in the room. I come back. They in this motherfucker. Nose white, everything. Bitch wanted to shirt off. She out there, that nigga, turn that Jeezy up. Now they running through my liquor. Now, I immediately, when I see that they drinking a lot, I was like, I got to slow them down. You're not finna drink all my goddamn liquor like that. I throw the Paul Masson. I throw the Paul Masson on them quick. I say, I got some yak. Y'all want some yak? Yeah. Pulled up a cup of Paul Masson. Bitch downs the Paul Masson. And now her homegirl bagging it up on her, dancing on her. So I'm like, man, they acting a fool. They got a blunt lit in my living room. They dancing. They ain't giving a fuck about what I'm doing. So I'm like, you know what? Here's my chance. I'm going for it. I immediately sit down on the couch, pull my pants down, pull my meat out, just start beating off, looking at them. Y'all just keep doing what y'all doing. I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to disrespect y'all, because then it would make y'all feel like y'all had to fuck me. And I don't want y'all to feel like that's what y'all got to do. So now the one that was bent over, she say, why you doing that? You ain't got to do that. Girl, he crazy. The other girl, he crazy. I said, no. You know what? Let me just do what I'm doing, because I respect y'all, because it's black women. I don't want to. Nuh-uh, stop. You being crazy. Stop.
So what?
Now, the girl that's been over, she grabbing. Now, she drunk, high. She grabbing at my meat, trying to tell me, stop. I say, no, I got to. I'm too far into it. I don't want to get blue balls. I've been pent up in the house. Oh, you been in the house by yourself?
Oh, shit.
So now.
If I played the blue balls card. Oh, shit.
So now she start jacking me off. Then she just like, come on and just get it out. I said, it ain't going to come out that way. It ain't going to come out that way. She start doming the nigga up. Now, I'm getting domed up. I'm looking. The tall one that was the driver. She smoking. She go back to the powder. She said, oh, you done got a bitch crunk. You done got a bitch real crunk. She gets in my rolly high back leather chair. My chair that I do my design and my flies. And she, you know, it was like a gamer chair. She gets back in that motherfucker.
Right.
She turns that Jeezy on. Red dots and drink. Got them bang stuff. I'ma tear that pussy up. Hey. I got one baby mama, no bitch, no wife. I'm like, Pac, you need a thug. And you're like, hey, so now she's sitting there, got one foot up and took her pants down. She got one foot up and she playing with herself. Now, I'm tripping because I've only encountered one squirter in my life at this point. This is my second squirter that I did not know was a squirter, and it scared me because she started squirting in my chair, and I was more mad about my chair. I was like, hey, you piss. First mind, you pissing. Hey, yo, what the fuck? And so I'm trying, but the old girl doming me. She's like, you ain't had nothing in a long time. I'm like, I haven't.
So but then, this bitch pissing in my chair.
But your girl. So I'm like, and it's like it's running out the chair into the ground, and I'm like I'm conflicted. I'm like, oh man, you gotta clean that up, bro. I'm about to knock your homegirl down. Y'all got to move around. Y'all got to move around. So in my mind, I'm kind of turned off by it. My old girl. Yes, your girl done. Look at your girl done in my chair. She stops doming me up. Meeting her hand looks like this. Oh, crawls over there to the chair, starts eating a girl out. Now I'm sitting there. I'm like, her girl, she getting ate out. Squirter sitting there making all the noises. I'm jacked up because I'm like, nigga, you done sucked me off for a hot 15. Now I'm ready to drill some. So I'm thinking, first move, if you getting ate out, you got a mouth open. I'm going for the next available mouth. So I go crawl up on my window ledge and try to put my meat in her face. She turns her head like
on the window ledge.
If you know how the window got a little ledge to it, I'm trying to.
Boy, you this nigga went full Spider-Man.
So like she's like, oh, wait a second. She starts doing all that shit. I said, all right, man, I'm finna get up out of here. I crawled down, I scoot up under old girl on the bottom. I start knocking her from the under bottom of it. I said, yep, I'm done. So
straight up.
I'm out of there.
I got mine. Hope you I'm get out
of there. Sevo, they sat in there eating
bro,
each other
you know
out,
what?
Back and
you know
forth.
What I got from that store?
What?
You know what I got from that store?
What?
I need to print me some motherfucking Obama t-shirts.
I came back in the room and both the women looked me dead in the eyes and they said, did you miss me? God damn. Took y'all ass around the world and dropped y'all ass off. This has been the Did You Miss Me podcast, the best storytelling podcast in the world. Me and my special guest today, Seven the Poet. Seven, tell them where they can find you at.
Hey, man, y'all can look me up at anything, Seven the Poet, S-E, the number 7, E-N-T-H-E-P-O-E-T, Seven the Poet. Just Google it. YouTube, all that shit that pop up, search me, find me.
iTunes, me. What you got over there? You got some poetry albums over there, too.
Yeah, man, iTunes, I got I almost said I got a gospel album. Which I do, but I mean, after such content, I don't think it's the best place to promo. You know what I mean? But I do have an album called Make Me Laugh, Make Me Cry, ladies. That's some good candidate, you know, rainy day, cleaning the house, comfortable, poetry, music, jazz type vibe. You know what I'm saying? I always record live, and I record with a live band. That's on iTunes, Make Me Laugh, Make Me Cry, Seven the Poet.
Already. Hey, from everybody here at Did You Miss Me podcast, we want to make sure we tell you thank you for checking us out today. Be sure to check out new episodes for us right here on didyoumissmepodcast.com. Also available at youtube.com/didyoumissmepodcast and now at audioboom.com/didyoumissmepodcast. This is the best storytelling game in the world. My man, Seven has been here today. Shouts out to Damn Fool. Shouts out to D-Lay. And for everybody else here, we'll see you next time.